The Torah, in the beginning of the second of the two parashios we will read this week, begins Eilef Ikudea Mishkan Mishkan Ha'idos Asher Pukar Alpi Moshe Avodas Halvim Biyari Semar Ben Aron HaKohen. These are the enumerations of the Mishkan that were done by the word of Moshe, the work of the Levim, supervised by Isamar, the son of Aron HaKohen. It mentions that Bezalel and Oliav were appointed to actually supervise the work. Moshe Rabbeinu, they report to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah then proceeds to describe how the materials that were collected from the Mishkan, the donations, how they were used. Meaning, an accounting of the finances is given. The Zahav, the Torah tells us, collected X, doesn't tell us actually what specific things it was used for, is how Sulam Lachal Homelachas HaKodesh. The amount of silver that was collected is enumerated precisely, as is the copper. With the copper, we're told the things that they made out of it, the Adnei Pesach HaMoed, the Mizbach HaNechoshes, the Mechbar HaNechoshes, the Klei HaMizbeach, the Adnei HaChotzer, and so on and so forth. By the Kesef, however, something unusual happens. There, the Torah spells us the exact amount of Kesef. It tells us exactly what was spent, where the Kesef was spent, exactly how much was spent on each socket of the Krushim for the inner Mishkan, which was most of it, how many sockets, how much per socket, and then there was leftover. And once you took care of 600,000 machzis ha-shekel, there were another 1,750 or so shkalim. And there the Torah tells us exactly what they were used for. They were used around the amudim of the chatzer and the vavim. They circled around it, the chashukim, and that's what they used the rest of the kesef for. Highly, highly precise. Highly precise. What exactly is it that Chazal learn and teach us from this enumeration? Why all of this detail? Why of the importance, after we've described the kelim, forget that we repeated the kelim, why is it necessary to give a precise accounting? So the truth is that when one deals with mammon of the tzibur, there are a number of very important things that have to be kept in mind. I think they might fundamentally break down into three observations. Number one, the importance of proper procedures. Number two, the importance of a proper attitude towards the mammon of the tzibur and understanding what mammon of the tzibur is. And number three, understand the importance of giving an accounting and a precise accounting. The Mishnah Maseches Shkalim states that in Pochsin Perakei Mishnah Beis, in Pochsin Mishlosha Gizvarim Umishiva Amarkalim, these were temple officials, Vein Osin Srara Alatzibur B'mamon Pachos Mishnayim. You do not appoint people with authority, power over people of collection, unless you have two people. And there were a couple of exceptions, a couple of officers, which the Tzibur were Makabel, even though they were single individuals. The Gemara in Bava Basra states that when they would collect for the kupa, which was not distributed immediately, you needed two people to collect, because you can't have a srara over other people with fewer than two people. And when you divided it up, you needed three people. Now the Gemara observes that the issue of two is not about nemanus, because it's only because of srara. You can't have dominion over others when you're putting just one person in charge. Meaning that in the interim between collection and between distribution of the money, you only had one person. If the person was a neman, that would be acceptable to guard the money. However, when it comes to the disbursement of the money, three people are required, the Gemara says, because it's dine mamonos. Because taking the mammon, which belongs to the tzibur, and deciding which aniyim get it, or which project, which needs are to be met, that's a form of dine mammonos, and it requires shlosha. It requires shlosha because it's din. It's not for the gabbai tzedakah to do whatever he wants and whatever he sees fit. He has an obligation of din, of proper cheshbon, of understanding of what are important needs, what are not important needs, what needs take precedence over other. It is din Torah. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Hakupa ina nigbeis mepachos mishnayim shein osin srar latzibur b'mamam mepachos mishnayim. Aval la'achar shenigbeis, once it's been collected, echa neman aleh lios gizbar. He can be the treasurer to hold on to it. You could appoint two brothers, even though normally they wouldn't be good for nemanus, because one will cover up for the other. They can be gizbarim. Ve'enam is chalekes ela b'shlosha. It's divided up only by three. Lefishu kedine mamanos la'ain al kol ani va'ani kama roi litenlo. Everything that you give to one ani is something that you're not going to give to another ani. It's dine mamanos, and on some level it's dine nefashos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So even in the collection and distribution of public funds, there need to be proper procedures. It needs to be done with the kovet rosh of dine mamanos, when you distribute money, when you spend money of the tzibur. In terms of an attitude of understanding the mamon, what is the mamon of the tzibur? Mamon of the tzibur is not mamon of individuals. It's not an aggregate of individuals. The tzibur is its own entity. This was a misunderstanding that the Kohanim had in the second Beis HaMikdash, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to correct them. The Kohanim had this idea that every person gives their machtzis ha-shekel, and it's their chelek. So when you bring a karban, you have your portion of that karban. It's not a collective entity, it's single parts of karbanos that belong to every member of the tzibur. And hence, the Kohanim Chachamim said, Kohen is not allowed to give a machtzis ha-shekel. As Kohanim, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, and I think mocking them, Kohanim Dorshim Mikra Zela Atzman. They interpret scripture for their own benefit. Why? Because the Kohanim's a Mishnah Shkalim. The Kohanim said, it's in Perek Aleph Mishnah Dal, the Kohanim said, the Torah tells us in Parashas Tzav, Kol Minchas Kohen, Kolil Tiyel Osei Ochel. A Kohen's Mincha is burned completely. A Yisrael, a Zar's Mincha, you take a Kemitza out, you burn it on the Mizbeach, the rest the Kohanim eat. Minchas Kohen is completely consumed. So the Kohanim said, if the Omer and the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Apanim, which are forms of Menachos, are to be eaten by the Kohanim as the Torah prescribes, how could they eat them if it has a chelik of Kohanim in it? And therefore, obviously, a Kohen of Shokel is Chote. He's sinning because he's creating a problem eating these Menachos that the Torah commands that the Kohanim eat. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Loki ela kol Kohen she'eno Shokel Chote. It's wrong. Because the mamon of the tzibur is not simply the aggregate, each individual has a chelek, it's a new chetza. It's a new din. It's the mamon of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it doesn't matter for the Kohen, he can eat the mincha. Because it's not his portion of the mincha. It belongs to the tzibur. When money is given over, it doesn't belong, at that point, to the individual donors. Donor can attach it tonight to money, but nonetheless, it belongs to the tzibur. But lest one think for a moment, you know what? Mamon shel tzibur is an interesting entity. You know, I'm supposed to separate truma for Kohanim. What if I separate truma and then I decide to eat it myself, or I decide to burn the oil myself for fuel? Can the Kohanim take me to a din Torah? The answer is no. You know why? Because it's what we call mamon she'in lo tovim. It's kind of ownerless money. It doesn't have a claimant. And therefore, if a Kohen comes to me and says, you ate my truma, you burned my truma, I'll say, sorry, I was going to give it to a different Kohen. It's mamon she'in lo tovim, and you can't be omed bedin on that. Mamon shel tzibur is not that way. The Mishnah, at the beginning of the second parak of Shkalim, talks about the process of collecting the Shkalim and bringing them to the Mikdash. The Mishnah says that if the Bnei Ha'ir sent their Shkalim and they were stolen or they got lost, so then they discuss who is liable, whose loss is it. One thing is very, 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 very clear. If the Shluchim were Poshim, they're responsible for the money. We don't say, oh, well, it's the cheapest money, easy come, easy go. If, in fact, there's a technical consideration in the karbanos. If, in fact, the trumas halishka had been done after, while the money was still extant in hektish as rishus, then the people don't have to give another more money to hektish. Instead, the shluchim swear to the gizbarim, and they're off the hook, and, you know, the people were yotze, and hektish lost some money. If the money was stolen before the Trumas Alishka, so it's no longer in Hektish's Rishos, then the people have to pay again. And if the Shluchim don't swear, or if they were Poshea, Mishnah doesn't say it, but obviously they're responsible for the money. They're responsible for the money because they were irresponsible. In other words, Mamon Shel Tzibur has Tovim. There is a responsibility when people are negligent with the Tzibur's money. There is sometimes an attitude, one sees this in many communal Jewish organizations. It's a very, very common problem. You look at the salaries of the top officers. Many, this is a broad problem. It may not only be in Jewish communal organizations, but it certainly exists there. And you see exorbitant salaries. Now the truth is, Jewish communal organizations want to get good people to run them. But at the same time, there has to be a sense that this is Mammon Shel Tzibur. This is not, oh, it's free spending money. It's like monopoly money. It's not. We take the issue of Mammon Shel Tzibur very seriously. We take it very seriously in terms of tzedakah. We take it very seriously in terms of halacha. Very seriously. In a discussion with Hilchos Trefos, I think Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Tarfon, one of them shouts at the other, claiming he's being too machem. He said, "Amasa ata mechalem mamonim shel Yisrael." You and your chumras, you're going to be mechalem mamonim shel Yisrael. And there he was machmid because it was a concern of Issa Behetar. One of them thought it was a trefa. Al achas kama v'kama, when it comes to people who work for the tzibur, a sensitivity that this is communal money. This is communal money. It's not something to be spent lightly. It's not something to be assumed. Oh, it's free money. Finally, the story of this week's parsha. Accounting. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and gives an accounting. There are two reasons for giving an accounting. One is stated by the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah. Why did Moshe give the cheshbon? Because people were grumbling that he was stealing, he was enriching himself on the side. You know, he was enriching himself. Probably Korach thought he was enriching his other family members. They were grumbling. Moshe Rabbeinu heard them grumbling. And he said, we're going to solve that problem. The way we're going to solve that problem is, I'm going to give an accounting. I'm going to give an accounting. Why? For the same reason, and this belongs to the element of procedures, the same reason why the Mishkan Shkalim in the third parak says that when the Kohen who is going to take the truma from the Truma Salishka goes in, you know what he has to wear? No suit pockets, no hems, a straightforward robe with no place to put money. You know why? Because if he becomes wealthy, people will say, ah, he became wealthy from the Truma Salishka. If he becomes poor, they'll say, he became impoverished because he stole from the Truma Salishka. And the Mishnah says, Lefi she'adam tzarech lotzei shidei habrios kiderech she'tzarech lotzei shidei ha'makom. Shenemar v'yisem nekiyem me'ashem me'yisrael. The Omer umtzachein v'seichal tove in elokim v'adam. You have to give in accounting. You have to do things in a way where everything is above suspicion. If you run a shul, you're a president, you're a treasurer, everything has to be above suspicion. A proper accounting must be given. But then the Medrash tells us something which should be truly bone-chilling. Moshe Rabbeinu came to give the cheshbon of the kesef. Now, firstly, I think a comment is in order here. Why is the kesef singled out in such complete detail, in a way that both the Zav and the Choshes, and certainly the wool, the Tcheles, the Argaman, are much more perfunctory? The answer is there was a difference between the Machtzis HaShekel, and the silver, and everything else. Everything else was voluntary. A cheshbon has to be given for that. But a machtzis shekel is more than that. It was a mandatory tax. And when you tax people for something, when a community has a tax, when a society has a tax, a precise cheshbon must be given. Because people don't have a choice. People don't have a choice whether they want to voluntarily give or not. Not that chas v'shalom, when people voluntarily give, that you can be lax with the money, but even greater oversight is required when it's a mandatory tax. In most communities, we don't have that, but we do have some. In my particular community, there is a tax assessed for shul membership, for the Eruv, and for the mikveh. It's not a lot of money, but there is a tax assessed. It means that those organizations need to be even more precise in their accounting and the delineation of everything that's being done and spent with everything the money is spent on. Everything. Because that's mandatory. But anyway, that's not what's frightening. What's frightening is that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, he started to give the cheshbon for the shkalim. He said, Amar lahem bo v'ani yoseh lefnechem cheshbon. I will make a calculation. Amar lahem Moshe, eileh fikudei ha-mishkan, kach v'kach yatza al ha-mishkan. This is what I spent on. Achu yoshev u'mechashev, shochach be'elef v'shivim shvameos, v'chamisha v'shivim shekel ma'asha osa v'avim lamudim. He calculated the bulk of it. 300,000 full shkalim for the adonim. 300 shekel for each adon. Three, I got the numbers wrong. Whatever it is, I should be the accountant. Ki kar la adan. He did have calculation. And you read the pasuk, and some of you Bali Korea know the pasuk ends, ki kar la adan. And how does the next pasuk begin? V'yesh'elef. There's a pause, and all of a sudden, the Medrash says, he forgot. Hischu yoshevu masmiya. He started to wonder. Amar akshav Yisrael motzin yudeim lemar Moshe netalon. Moshe is terrified. He said, they're going to accuse me of having stolen the rest of the Shkelim. It was just a little bit. After all, he spent 300,000 full Shkelim. I spent, I had a little slush fund. How much is 1,750 Shkelim? How much more is that? Just a little bit. For me, for my friends. I can hire one of my friends, give them a job. Do something with it. Go out for an extra dinner. Moshe Rabbeinu was terrified. He can't remember what happened. All of a sudden, Ma'asa Heira Kadosh Baruch Hu Einav, Moshe Rabbeinu looked up, God enlightened his eyes, Vira Osam Asuyim Vavim Amudim. He saw the Amudim in the Mishkan and said, oh, that's where the silver is. Osasha, at that time, Nispaisu Ko Yisrael HaMelechus HaMishkan. The Jews were satisfied. They were satisfied with their communal building, with their Mishkan. And who caused that? Mi Garam Lo Ayideh Sheyashav Apisam. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that if you want to have people satisfied and shutfim in the communal partnership, you have to give a cheshbon. Have a eile fikudei hamishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Medrash continues, trusted Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol beisinem onhu. Right? There is probably no human being who has lived, I don't have to say probably, no human being in history who has lived that we believe was a greater Yirei Shamayim, who lived every moment in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who was more trustworthy than the person about whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, B'chol Beisinei Manu. And even Moshe Rabbeinu had to give a cheshbon to be Yotzei Yidei Habrios. They all had to know that this is how it was spent. Because nobody is beyond giving a cheshbon. Nobody. It doesn't matter how great a Talmud Chacham, doesn't matter how great an Ashir, doesn't matter how great a Chacham. Eile Fikudei HaMishkan. I stated before, the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu needed to give a cheshbon was to be mefayis the tzibur. But the truth is, I think that there's another reason as well, which wasn't true by Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's true by us, by all of us, which is al tamein ba'atzmacha ad yom mosecha. The importance of giving a public cheshbon is that when you know you have to give a public cheshbon, you are less likely to act irresponsibly. Right? If I know that nobody's going to look at what I'm doing, so at the end of the day, nobody looks, I do whatever I want. But if I know that it comes at the end of the month, I have to go to the shul board, and I have to say, this is where we spend every single dollar on, then I think twice before spending dollars on frivolous things. I think twice, I think three times, and maybe I don't. I would say al derech hadrush and close with the Mishnah Avos. Hillel Omer al tifrosh min atzibur. You can't be separate from the community. You can't think that if you're running a communal institution, you're above the tzibur. And therefore, you don't have any kind of cheshbon. And lest you tell yourself, but I'm a straight guy, and I would do everything properly. Don't have such trust in yourself until you're dead. When you die, you're not going to do any more aferos. But while you're alive, we're all susceptible to making mistakes. We're all susceptible towards doing the wrong thing. Then a caution for all of us. In judging communal institutions, until you know what you're talking about, don't rush to judgment. I have seen this in countless contexts in which institutions or places are reluctant to publish information about how money is spent. And one of the reasons they're reluctant to do so is because people will start questioning this or questioning that or questioning the other thing. And they're not wrong in one sense, because if you don't understand how an institution has to run fiscally, you start asking, well, why are they spending this? Why are they spending that? First, you have to be educated as to what are necessities in an institution and what are not. Then you can start asking the questions. When I know how an institution has to be run when it's run properly, now I can ask, why did you spend on this? Why did you spend on that? So, but then again, a warning to the people who spend the tzibur's money. Don't say something, don't do things in a way that nobody's possibly going to be able to understand. Don't engage in complex transactions and complex cheshbonos that don't make sense to people. Which you think in the end, it's going to be sofa lishama. It's not the way you do things. Things have to be done in a straightforward, in an obvious, but it has to be done in a very clear fashion so that people can understand why choices are being made. And finally, Va'al tomar l'she'efne eshne. Don't say, you know, I'm doing my thing because I know how to do things right. I'll settle the accounts later. Shema lo tipane. You may never get that chance to settle the accounts. What a person does with their own mamon, to a great extent, is their own right. The Ribbono Shel Olam has granted them the mamon. It's for them to spend in some ways as they see fit. But mamon, which is given by the tzibur, is not in that category. Mamon of the tzibur has to be held to proper procedures. It has to be treated with the appropriate respect and the appropriate attitude that it deserves, because it doesn't belong to the people spending it, it belongs to Klal Yisrael. And a proper accounting always must be given. And that's what the Torah teaches us in this week's Parsha, that even the greatest human being who ever lived, Moshe Rabbeinu, came to Klal Yisrael and said, Eile fikudei hamishkan mishkan ha'edus asher pukar al pi Moshe. Good Shabbos.